We are greatly fortunate today, so let us hear the translation. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's, transcendent body is the ornament of all ornaments. Purport. In conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam, the personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be a human being because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature, his four hands, because that would not have been suitable for his pastimes. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respect in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world, but when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakata or prakat, and when they are not visible, they are called aprakat. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it is sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another. And when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwaraka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikuntha Lokas. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence, in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha Lokas. In the Vaikuntha Lokas, the Lord is merciful towards the liberated or Nitya Mukta living entities, but in his pastimes in the mortal world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are Nitya Bada or conditioned forever. The six excellent opulences which he displayed in the mortal world by the agency of his internal potency Yoga Maya are rare even in the Vaikuntha Lokas. All his pastimes were manifested not by the material energy but by his spiritual energy. The excellence of his Rasa Leela at Vrindavan and his householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful, even for Narayan in Vaikuntha, and it is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful, even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Sri Ram, Narasimha, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is not different from Lord Krishna himself. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Adishatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Once again the translation. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by His internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in His eternal form, which is just suitable for His pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord Himself in His form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus His, Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Dasavatar Prabhu has chosen this verse for today's morning Bhagavatam lecture because it describes the speciality of Krishna. There is a difference between God and Krishna. In that Krishna is the Lord of love. The Christian concept of God is often associated with fear. He sits and is dissatisfied up in the skies. This frustration has activated some cells so that his hair became gray, like a graying old man. Therefore, we have to be afraid of the Lord, to not anger him more, unless he might become dangerous and punish us with so many things. Krishna is quite different. Krishna engages in a transcendent body, the ornament of all ornaments, which is just suitable for his pastimes of love. These pastimes amaze everyone, including the Lord of Vaikuntha, the majestic form of Krishna, who is there in the kingdom of God. Even Lord Narayan, when hearing about the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, the original form becomes totally bewitched and wonders. All over the world, devotees of Krishna celebrate the divine appearance of the Lord, the Janmashtami celebration, and we here in this tucked away place in the Bavarian forest build no exception. Devotees know that by observing a festival remembering the appearance of the Lord, their affection for Krishna becomes bigger. It is stated that O Janardan, that's the name of Krishna, tell us the exact date of your appearance so that we can celebrate us this and develop love for you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song Shodabhakata Charana Renu that by observing the festivals in connection with the Lord, His appearance in this world, and so on, we all, he says, these are the mothers of, of devotion. So let us therefore celebrate the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 25 years ago, Srila Prabhupada celebrated this festival with a handful of devotees in the Eppendorfer Weg in Hamburg, a little storefront, in some suburb of Hamburg. We all know the Eppendorfer Weg, and if you are interested to find the address, there is now a lady living in that apartment who is quite favorable, and if you behave properly, she will let you in and show you the rooms. Srila Prabhupada had come the year before. He had celebrated this festival in Montreal. There were many, many guests, many Indians, many devotees who came. But he was not disturbed that in Hamburg there were only a handful of devotees, because Jamashtami for a devotee is a time where he fixes on his relationship with the Supreme Lord. The devotees fasted for the day, and then in the evening Prabhupada called them in his apartment and talked to them about Krishna, and then they all chanted together. And then at 11:30, just before 12 o'clock, when the Lord's appearance is celebrated, he decided to shave his head, like Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. And so this was done. Krishna thus carefully shaved his spiritual master's head, although it was not a customary activity of the Jamashtami night. The devotees had this intimate association. Then at midnight, Prabhupada went with all of them into the temple, and then they broke their fast. That was the Jamashtami festival in the Eppendorfer Weg, number 11, in Hamburg. So to just bring this on. Today, many more devotees than just a handful have arrived for celebrating Jamashtami, and we are sure that Srila Prabhupada would be very happy and fatherly glance upon all of you and bless you. So, what is so special about the appearance of the Lord that so many devotees just leave everything behind on this day to fully concentrate on the Lord? To answer this question, we will turn for a while to Jiva Goswami's descriptions of the original Jamashtami celebration, which was performed in Vraj or in Vrindavan. And today I will do, like numerous devotees do, I will take the role of the storyteller, a role which I have become quite familiar with over the years. I do hope that by hearing this story in a very detailed way, our fascination and love for Krishna will just a little bit more sparkle forth under the thick layers of forgetfulness. There was once a powerful dynasty called the Yadu dynasty, who had a king called Daivaida, who lived in Mathura. Daivaida had two wives, one a Kshatriya and the other a Vaishya. From his Kshatriya wife, he got the son Surasena, who soon took over the rule of Mathura. From his other wife, who was a Kshatriya, Pajanya was born, who took charge of the cows of the kingdom, who were all in Madhuban. Let us concentrate on Pajanya, who is known all over the world as the father of Nanda Maharaj. Pajanya had five illustrious sons called Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, father of Krishna, Sunanda, and Nandan. But Pajanya was not at all interested in rulership. He was a pure devotee of the Lord, an eternal associate of Krishna. And when his sons were grown up, he turned the charge of all the cows and the settlements over to his oldest son, Upananda. Upananda, however, did not want to take, and then Pajanya, who has a white beard, is described, went and renounced in order to think of Govinda all the time. So Upananda, although being the oldest son, didn't feel that he should be the one who ruled, because he knew that the middle brother, who was just like Arjuna, Nanda, was much more qualified than him. And he said, Nanda, you take charge. We four brothers will be your advisors and counselors. So, in the cowherd settlement was also a gopa. Gopa means cowherd man, called Sumukha, who had a girl who was known as Yashoda. There was something around Yashoda, a foretelling, which said that anyone who would hear about her, think about her, would see his fame and good auspicious life increased to immense proportions. Yashoda means one who increases the fame and prosperity. And when Yashoda was in the marriageable age, Sumukha, the gopa, with tears of joy in his eyes, gave her to Nanda and said, you marry her. The whole cowherd community was full of bliss and prospered beyond all limitations. But there was one affliction in their hearts. Nanda, the leader, and Yashoda, although full of the best qualities imaginable, didn't have a son. That was a great tragedy. This became so disturbing when Nanda and Yashoda became older and older and older and still there was no son, that the gopis decided, we will put our ornaments away and never again have any ornaments until the day comes when Yashoda has a child. And Upananda and the others said, we will make a yagya and will not stop this yagya until finally Nanda and Yashoda have a child. But also the yagya failed because Nanda and Yashoda seemed to not be so interested to have any child. What was going on in their minds? Let me tell you. Since quite some time, Nanda and Yashoda had a divine vision appearing to them. A child was manifesting in both of their hearts. They would talk about this child. Have you seen this mysterious child? Yes, said Yashoda. He looks more beautiful than the incarnation of Narayan. Yes, I also see this child, said Nanda to his wife. And I tell you quite frankly, although everyone wants us to have a child, I only want him to be our child. Yes, said Yashoda, I feel the same thing. Only he should become our child. The cowherd community grew more and more in anxiety. Where was the inheritor of the rule of Nanda. Where was the boy? They were praying, nothing came. Then one day, it is described, something extraordinary happened. Narayan appeared simultaneously in the heart of Nanda and Yashoda, and he said, because of your affection, I appear in every kalpa. Narayan, you know, is God. Huh? Drona and Dara in the heavenly planets are your expansions. They have done great austerities to have me as the child. You have been sent here to this world that I can come and advent myself. The child you always see in your visions will soon appear as your son. So when Yashoda and Nanda come, you know, they had this vision of the Supreme Lord appearing to them. When they discussed this, they found out that he had appeared simultaneously at the same time to both of them. They were so overjoyed that they told the whole cowherd community, the Supreme Lord himself will come here to Vraj and he will appear as our son. At that time, in Vrindavan, an elderly lady came. No one had ever seen her or had heard about her. She introduced herself with the name Poonamasi, and she appeared to be a great yogini. After using astrological calculations, she predicted that Nanda would have a son who would give good fortune to the whole world. The Brijbasis were so in ecstasy when they saw this old wise lady that they built her a hut on the bank of the Yamuna, where she stayed very content with herself and performed austerities. Now around this time it was that Kamsa, who was the son of Ugrasena, was ruling Mathura. Kamsa was very, very demoniac. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants, it is described. He lived by drinking blood. That's what it says in Krishna book about him. And he had a brother called, he had a sister called Devaki, who was married to Vasudev. Vasudev had many, many wives, not many, many, but wives, I think around 10. Yeah. And one of them was Devaki, the other was Rohini. When Vasudev, at the day of the marriage, was sitting in the chariot, Kamsa had taken the opportunity to drive the chariot with Vasudev and his new wife Devaki. At that time, a voice appeared from the heavens. Kamsa, you fool! Sorry, we have to get a little in the mood. You are not knowing that the son of your sister, the eighth one, will kill you. And you are taking him on a chariot. You are driving your death around. So Kamsa was very, very disturbed. He took his sword, jumped up, took Devaki, his sister, and was prepared to just kill her. But Vasudev was able to say, no, it will not be Devaki who will kill it will be the eighth son of her. So just wait until the son comes. I will bring you all the children so that you can kill them immediately. Why do you fear? This struck a chord in Kansas' heart, and he decided to wait and kill the eighth child when it was born. So anyway, there's a very long story which we will hear in our Krishna Smaranam, I suppose, but I want to make it brief by telling you the things which we have not heard so many times. One of the wives of Vasudev was Rohini, and Rohini became pregnant, and in order to avoid Kamsa, the demon, when she was pregnant, she drove in a horse-drawn chariot to Vrindavan to take shelter at Nanda Maharaja's place. Now, it is described when Rohini, who had Balaram in her womb, came to Vrindavan, all auspicious signs were visible. Flowers bloomed, heavenly breezes were filling the air. And when Yashoda saw Rohini, she ran out of the house, and it was as if the Ganga and Yamuna would meet. They were very elated to meet each other. And then after some time, this was, I think, when was Balaram taking birth? How many days before Krishna's appearance? Seen? 10? 15? 15? When was Balaram's appearance day? 8? So it was between 8, 10, and 15. Transcendental. So it is described that Rohini, like a lioness, gave birth to Balaram. 7 months after Yogamaya had carried him from Devaki's womb into Rohini's womb. That's another mystery. We can't explain everything today. So Balaram, this son, this is very important. He was like God. There was a light coming from him, fulfilling everything. And no one could look into the eyes of this child because they were so brilliant. However, he was mute and inactive. Mute, you understand? He didn't speak anything and he didn't move. Everyone was thinking, the son of the queen is mute and inactive. One day, Rohini took him and put him near the heart of Yashoda, who was also pregnant. As we will hear a little bit later, in that heart, the Supreme Lord Krishna was there. And when Yashoda held the little transcendental boy to the heart, all of a sudden, Balaram exploded with movement and shouted and said so many pleasant things. He waited for his brother. So then, during the Magh month, Yashoda saw many beautiful signs. She saw how a child, together with a girl, entered her heart. And from the heart, the girl entered the womb of her. Nanda Maharaj saw the same thing, a divine child covered with a lady child coming in his mind, entering from there into the heart of Yashoda. And they were very amazed about this. It is described that Krishna appeared in the heart of Yashoda, because a son comes always from the heart. He is related with the heart. If parents in this world, it is seen, have a child which is retarded or which is a bad child, they do not necessarily identify with him saying, he is my son. But if the son is connected to the heart, then the parents say, this is a son, this is a real son. A son always has to be connected with the heart, or a girl also. So Krishna, the son of Yashoda, stayed in the heart of Yashoda. This is an explanation given by Jiva Goswami. And at that time, Yashoda became so beautiful. Her moon-like face was beaming. Gopis worshipped her, and the demigods appeared in her dwelling and began to offer praise, because they knew now Krishna is appearing and now Krishna is present. So, at the time when Krishna finally appeared, all contradicting signs in the nature appeared. Although it was not Satya Yuga, there was a clarity and peace of mind never seen before. Although it was not spring, the Mogra flowers blossomed. Although it was not summer, the mangoes ripened. And although it was not day, the lotus was in full bloom. After the atmosphere was so surcharged with divine signs, Yashoda gave birth to both a boy and a girl. This is confirmed by Srila Prabhupada, who writes, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy Yoga Maya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudev was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudev worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yashoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his godhood. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yashoda and as the son of Devaki. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti on the authority of Harivamsa. When the Lord came, the holy name was all in the atmosphere. His face was like a blue lotus flower. The eyes were like the petals of the lotus. The lips were red like flowers, and he had hands which looked like the twigs of newly grown tamal trees. And on the chest, he had the Srivatsa sign, and he was dressed in yellow cloth. Which child is dressed in yellow cloth when it comes and has the Srivatsa sign? Only Krishna. So this was all now the complicated things. Just to summarize, so that you know where you are, we have heard how Nanda and Yashoda were childless, but how always there was a vision of a divine child whom they wanted. We have heard that this is Krishna, who also appeared in his Vishnu form as the son of Devaki in Mathura. Now we will get a little bit complicated, and you will need the best part of your brain to follow. So this will be the last complicated thing, and then we will just hear pleasant Leela. So please be with us. We know that it is an endeavor for us born with this unfortunate Western background, but it is possible if we want. It is described that Krishna had appeared in Vrindavan as the son of Yashoda, and simultaneously was his younger sister appearing, Yogamaya, also as the son of Yashoda. As Vishnu, the Lord had appeared in Mathura in the prison cell of Devaki, like we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, with a mission to annihilate the demons. He had appeared as Kamsa's death, the death of this demoniac ruler. So, now I must really look at my notes because it gets very complicated. The four-handed form of Vishnu appeared in the prison cell of Devaki. Devaki and Vasudev said, "You look like God. Kamsa will kill you. You are the eighth son," and this is what we said. "Just become a little child so that we can conveniently hide you away and he won't fight you." So, Vishnu told them, "All right, I will become a little child. And then Vasudev should carry me from the prison cell to Gokula and bring me to Nanda and Yashoda." At this moment, something extremely mysterious happened. Yashoda was sleeping in Vrindavan, and Yogamaya, the sister of Krishna, like a wind who carries aroma, in the blink of a moment, brought Krishna to Mathura. And when Vishnu, all of a sudden, became Krishna, that was the Krishna who was brought by Yogamaya. Then Vasudev, just like he had heard Vishnu saying, wanted to take the son and bring him to Vrindavan, but he was chained with iron chains on the opposite wall of the prison cell. The other wall, Devaki, was chained. Kamsa wanted to make sure that there couldn't be an eighth child, so therefore he chained them on the walls. So then Vasudev felt how the iron chains were loosening Gadadhar. He went up, he took the child, he saw how the door of the prison was opening. He was very afraid because this prison was guarded so heavily that not a bird could fly over the prison. He was shot. So Kamsa wanted to be very sure that there wouldn't be any eighth child or anything. And all the guards who were there, Vasudev found them sleeping. And he went out. Began to rain. All of a sudden, Ananta Shesha appeared over him, protecting him from the rain. Then he went, and there was a Yamuna. And the Yamuna was going high in ecstasy. He was carrying the boy on his head, and the Yamuna was so full with water, he thought, "How am I going to cross this dangerous stream?" Then he saw a fox going through the waves of the Yamuna, and he thought, "Oh, that's the way to go." And again, he went, and so many things happened. Then finally he came to Yashoda. He saw her sleeping. And he saw, he brought the little child Krishna, put him there, and took the daughter of Yashoda in exchange, bringing him to the prison cell. And then the little daughter began to scream. I think she screamed more transcendentally. Kamsa heard it, came down and said, "Where is that child?" Devaki said, No, "There's no son. It's a daughter. The prophecy was you would be killed by a daughter. Don't fear." But Kamsa took the little daughter and wanted to smash her on the floor and kill her. But Yogamaya appeared in her eight-arm form and said, "You fool!" It's heavy for the ego. "You fool! Krishna, the son of your... the cause of your death has already appeared somewhere else." The Kamsa was finished. He had a nervous breakdown. This is how the Leela goes. Now, let us turn to Vrindavan. When Yashoda awoke, he saw the lotus face of little Bal Krishna. She was so joyful, her breast milk was flowing spontaneously, and she could not even call the attendants to say, "The birth has appeared, the divine child is here with us." There was a Brahmani who, the wife of a Brahmana who was called then, and who was sent to tell Nanda. But the Brahmani, when she stood before Nanda, could not even say one word. She was so blissful. When Nanda saw her, he became so blissful, and he couldn't speak a word. He only looked at his brother Upananda, who understood immediately what Nanda wanted. Nanda wanted that all the cows who were being milked and the cows who were waiting to be milked be given in charity to the husband of that Brahmani. And Upananda obliged. Finally, the Brahmani said, "Nanda, your child has appeared." Nanda was immediately dancing with flying cloth all in the cowherd shed. The cows began to dance with ecstasy upon the wonderful news. Nanda immediately went home, took a shower, and then wanted to go to see Krishna, but he couldn't move from all that bliss. Do not know if you were ever so blissful that you couldn't move. You try to move. He tried to move, but he couldn't do so. It is commented by the Acharya that the Supreme Lord Narayan personally, who was satisfied with the worship of Shalagram Shila of Nanda Maharaj, guided him to see his son. Now, at that moment, when he wanted to see Krishna, Rohini took the curtain and put the curtain before Krishna and teased him. "Ha ha, you can't see your child. Ha ha. First you have to promise to give me all kinds of ornaments. Then only you can see your child." Nanda said, "Yes, no problem. Just let me see." The curtain went open like today. When we have our Arati ceremony, you will see how Asta Radhaji will put the curtain open. Then we will see at 12 o'clock Lord Krishna. Don't sleep at that time. It is important to have the darshan then. So, it is described that Nanda cried tears of ecstasy. His green dress was wet and he could not move to see the beautiful smile of Krishna. And Krishna moved the arms up and down, and everyone was just overcome with waves of ecstasies. Musicians played, and finally Upananda's wife was saying, "Here's your child, take him please." So Nanda put him on his heart, and then Yashoda was crying in the limitless ecstasy. Nanda sent immediately for all the Brahmanas to worship them, and Nanda was becoming uncontrolled in his giving charity. He gave to one Brahmana 10,000 cows, to the next he gave 20,000 cows. It was described that the Brahmanas felt hesitant to accept Nanda's charity because it was so much. Nanda was just going wild with ecstasy. Then he built mountains of sesame seeds, which weighed, each mountain was 320 kg. It's a lot. And then he covered them with jewels and with gold, and he gave it away to all the brahmanas. And he didn't stop. Then there was this woman who was cutting the usually umbilical cord. She was waiting. When can I do my service and cut the umbilical cord? Nabelschnur zu Deutsch. But she came to the child and there was no umbilical cord. She says, there is no umbilical cord, but this child has so many lakshanas or qualities that you can't even find them in the Samudrika Shastra. Everything is just auspiciousness, maruram, 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 and maruram. Huh? So it was not possible for the for anyone to understand what was going on. So I will come to the end here. It is described that lecture of Prabhupada, where this Nama Rupa, this form of the holy name, is Krishna's most merciful form, and as we begin to chant it, we will get a wonderful experience. Everyone can who experiences it can say so. We have a wonderful guest today, our Bhakta Georg. Whenever we phone on the phone, Georg tells me how he is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every time, whenever he has time, day and night. And I saw it once. We had an appointment in the Holiday Inn, and I was waiting for him in the lounge, so he couldn't see me when he entered, and he was going with his bibek to the reception, and he was going Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, and not even saying where is the key for my room. He says Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram, and you know, getting the key. And I was just laughing because he was, you know, he was not caring if anyone would think what's going on or not. He was just chanting Hare Krishna all the time, which is what a devotee should do. To be together with the Supreme Lord Krishna all the time. So the Lord is so merciful that he comes to us in the holy name, but we have to chant it properly. And I want to just give five little rules now before I end my stream of endless words, which will help the devotees to actually have the Krishna appear on the tongue and in the heart when chanting the holy name. These are five nice rules, and if you forget everything else which was said in the lecture, don't forget this. Why do not? If you have slept through the lecture, hear at this point. It is very important. Goes like this. First, we have to take care that when we chant, we are not tired. Because if we are tired, we won't hear the holy name. The second thing we can take care of is that we vibrate the holy name in the proper way. That means we should use our upper lip and our lower lip and the tongue in forming the sound vibration. Then we have to sometimes see that we are in the proper time. When we are too fast, when we have chanted around in 3 minutes, it means our fingers were chanting, but not our mind. If we have chanted around in 15 minutes, it means we were most properly absent-minded when chanting. So this is the first 3 points. Then it becomes a little bit more difficult. It is described that when a person chants with offenses, the holy name won't come. He will only, or the Krishna won't come.
So the most important of all offenses is inattention when chanting the holy name. Inattention can come due to things like you plan the day, for instance, so I have so much to do. At that time, what is recommended by our practical modern day devotees is you take a piece of paper and write down. Let the paper hold it for you. Why does your mind have to become the slave of your thoughts when you are chanting? Let the paper, it does it free of cost, hold everything for you. Then, if you go into the kingdom of the utopia, oh, in the future this will happen and that will happen, or if you go into the past, oh, I was so sinful, or he said this to me, or she said this to me, and this troubles my mind. If this happens, just bring it back from wherever it wanders, like a little dog who has run in dirty places. So in this way, you will find how the mercy of the holy name will carry your chanting, and you will chant in a very happy and wonderful way. We are the Hare Krishna movement. If we can't chant Hare Krishna properly, we won't be the very inspired Hare Krishna movement, but a shadow of what was planned. We are a Hare Krishna devotee. If we as a devotee don't chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra properly, we will not have the appearance of the Lord available in our own lives. So thank you all very, very much for giving so much attention for such a long time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaunitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Devo.